our assurance of eternal life.
You'll turn to the book of Hebrews, please.
Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to read verse 2. He is our assurance of eternal life because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is the author and finisher. He is the Alpha, Revelation says, and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He began our salvation. And Paul, in writing to the Philippians, says, he which hath begun a good work in you will what? Perform it.
Amen.
You see? And he will. He will do for us. He is the assurance of our salvation. He begins it, and he'll end it. Now, not end in the sense of stopping it, but bringing us to the end of life and to the end of our salvation experience on this earth. And so look at 2 Timothy, if you will. I'm going front a couple books to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul makes a statement regarding this matter of our salvation. And he says in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was persuaded. He was not wishy-washy. He was not just hopeful in the sense that it might happen, it might not happen. You know, the Bible uses the word hope in different ways. When we speak of my hope is in Christ, that doesn't mean I hope I'll make it to heaven. That means it's a certainty. I'm not without hope. My hope is in Christ. But some people, you see, they only hope they're going to get to heaven. Okay, it's a wish on their part. But for the Apostle Paul, he was persuaded. This was an absolute certainty. And he was persuaded that he is able to what? Keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, going back to Philippians. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul tells the Philippians, being confident. Here again, he was persuaded. Now he says he's confident. This is not a wishfulness on Paul. This is a certainty on Paul's part. There's no need for anybody to be wishful or uncertain about the matter of eternity. We can know it absolutely. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're born again and you know you're born again, do not speak about your eternal status in question marks.
That's right.
That's a disgrace to the God who has saved you.
That's right.
Okay, get it down solid. You say, well, I don't want to be presumptuous. You ought to be presumptuous. Jesus died on the cross to make you certain of something. That's not presumption. That's just accepting what God gave you. Now look at it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you Well, yeah, I got saved. You see, I grew up in the theology. I went to a seminary and I grew up in a church for a number of years where you could lose your salvation, you see. And so they would always hope so in the sense that they didn't know so. And they talked against the no-so salvation. Now, why in the world a person would want to do that, I don't know, but I did it. And then my brother kept arguing with me from the scriptures. And you know, you just can't out-argue the Bible.
That's right.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit won, okay? And being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. God who saved you is going to keep you saved. It isn't a matter of you, it's a matter of him.
Amen.
So many times people say, well, what if I stop? You won't stop believing when you're born again. You say, yeah, well, I might backslide. Yeah, you might.
That's right.
And God might take you home early. It's in the end of the book of Hebrews.
Amen.
Some sleep, he tells us.
That's right.
You see, some people die physically on this earth before they would need to, because of their disobedience and failure to yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But don't worry about that. You say, well, where do you go then? Well, the reason you're dying before you need to is so that you can get to heaven. Okay? Because he's God's. Our terminology. This is not God's terminology. Our terminology. God's sick and tired of us fooling around on him. And he realizes they're never going to get this thing straight. And so it's time to take them out. You say, well, I know people that had a profession of faith and they didn't live for God and they just went on. God never took them out.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, that's right. That's right. You see, you can mark it down. They probably never were saved. And you say, well, you talk awful certain, and now you're saying probably, I'm not putting myself in the place of God.
That's
you
right.
shouldn't either That's when right. you meet somebody like that. You leave that between them and God.
Yeah.
But here we are now. We're the Wednesday night crowd. We're sitting here in prayer meeting. We're people who care. We're people who want to live. And we can be absolutely certain, and that's not presumptuous, that's being persuaded. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he's going to work it, he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to take care of us. Okay? He's going to take care of us. Now, we might, everybody, until Jesus comes again, everybody's going to die. Okay, everybody's going to die. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We were talking about this coming out to her. As a matter of fact, there's two CDs laying over there. They aren't anymore. They're preaching CDs of mine, and I said, I think I'm going to pick them up. I said, I'm going to die someday. Maybe my kids would want to have a sermon or two. Okay, I said, now if the website's still up, they can go on it and get them. But who knows how long I'll live and whether the website will be there. You can't know those things. So I said, I'll take them two CDs because I'm going to die someday. And it's just fact of life. Oh, there was a time that I didn't talk that clearly and bluntly about it. Okay? The house we bought, we saw a few houses that were a little bit bigger. And Mama would have liked a little bit bigger. And I said to her, I said, look, one of us is going to live in this thing alone someday. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to need that little bit more room.
That's good.
Now, oh my goodness, you talk like that. Yeah. You think you're going to, other than if Jesus comes again, you think you're going to live in this earth forever? No. And don't be afraid of death.
That's right.
Death is our friend. You see? the Apostle Paul said, hey, for me to live, it's Christ. Oh, but to die,
amen.
That's gain. You see. Now, look, I'm ready. I'm willing. But I can wait. I can wait, okay? I've got to get a roof fixed. Mike's coming down to fix my roof.
Well, amen.
And we need to put a hose connection out the back of the house. And that way I don't have to drag a hose in through the laundry room to get water to the back. And so, you know, I'll wait. But I don't mind talking about it.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just part of life. The Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that. We're back in 2 Timothy. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you done that? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? For salvation, yes. And then as a Christian, for keeping. Have you committed it to Jesus Christ? Are you at peace with Jesus Christ? You know, it's one thing to have peace, peace with God, that's salvation, and another thing to have the peace of God. You look it up. The Bible talks about peace with God, and it talks about the peace of God. Peace of God is my walk with Jesus Christ. And we're able to have that. Jesus is our assurance. He is the shepherd of us. 1 Peter, if you're Timothy, go back one a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. Where Peter says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but now, we may have been sheep going astray, but we're not that anymore. Now, but now, return unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Shepherd. Just as you think of a man who is a shepherd, and all that he does to care for his sheep, that's what Jesus Christ does. But it also calls him the bishop. Now, a bishop is an administrator. A bishop is an overseer. And therefore, he shepherds us. He comforts us. The 23rd Psalm, you know, he does all of that for us. But he also is the administrator. And he administrates our life. He directs our life. He oversees our life. He is all of that to us, to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That's why we have assurance, because Jesus is that. He is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's in control. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of God, and which you have, and you're not your own, we're his. Now, look at Romans 8, because I like the way Romans 8 illustrates, I'm gonna call it, I'm not sure that's the best word, but it's the word I'll use, illustrates Jesus being the shepherd and bishop of our soul, the assurance, the one who keeps us. He is able to keep that which we've committed to him. And how he does it is in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start reading at verse 35, where the Apostle Paul asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now we're talking about assurance and Jesus keeping us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword, that all describes different kinds of really crisis experiences. Experiences like fellow believers that are living in countries where they are persecuted to death. They're experiencing this. And you know, he's telling us that nothing is going to separate them from their Savior. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's how those people are in those Muslim countries, whether they're in Africa, they're in the Near East, or whether they're in communistic countries. They are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And then Paul says, no. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm just giving you time to think. Those who would think, well, those Christians, they're dying. How were they conquerors? Nothing could separate them.
Amen.
Nothing could separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded, here Paul is again with that persuasion, just like he said in Hebrews, persuaded. And just like he said in Philippians with that, with not the word persuasion, but that certainty. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, no ruler, no kingdoms, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I said, I'm ready to go. I'm very willing to go. And like the lady in the song about all hail the power of Jesus' name, she was ready and she was wanting to go. She just wanted to crown him the Lord of all. But you see, we don't need dying grace until we're dying.
Amen.
Okay? What we need now is grace to live. We know that'll come. We anticipate that'll come. There's no fear in talking about it coming. But what we need now is grace to live. And that's wherein we are called upon to live for Christ. When the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a sacrifice. No. It says a living sacrifice. It's only when it's time to die that we present it as a sacrifice. Until then, we present it as a living sacrifice. And the things that we would like to hang on to, the things that we would want to live for, those are the things that we must sacrifice. And they may not all be bad things. Don't think that the only thing that we must sacrifice are bad things. No, there's okay things, good things. But if they stand between the Savior and ourselves, they must be sacrificed. And then he promised us that we'll get to live with him. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. He gives us eternal life. And he keeps us. Listen how he describes this assurance. When we turn to the Gospel of John, we're going to look at the 10th chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Jesus is our assurance. You can be as certain as you are that you're sitting where you are tonight, you can be certain that Jesus will keep you and get you to heaven. and help you to live right now. If he does, if he has power to get me to heaven, he has power to help me to live right now. And if I'm not living right now the way I know he wants me to live, the deficiency isn't on his end, it's on my end. All right, John 10, verse 28. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Did he give that to you? You born again, you saved. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Any man. And that goes with what Paul said in Romans. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. There isn't anything or anyone that can separate us. Now, let me tell you, the way the people who think you can lose their salvation dance around this verse. They say, yeah, it says there, no man shall pluck them out of my hand, but you can pluck yourself out.
That's what they say.
Yeah. Well, no, let me show you something here. When it says, neither shall any man, now man there would be used what I call the generic sense, okay? That's male or female, all right? Neither shall any man pluck the man. Dale, are you a man? Amy, are you a woman? Okay. Now, that man can't pluck you out, but it says any man. Are you a man? So that, to me, takes care of you can pluck yourself out.
That's right, it sure does.
Silly God, he didn't know to clarify that. That's an insult to God. He says there, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, gave us to Jesus, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all but the individual himself. Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus is our assurance. Focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is said of Elizabeth the First, a very gifted queen of England, but a very vain woman, that on her deathbed she was in distress. The doctors could do nothing more for her, and she continually cried out pitifully, I will give millions for another inch of time. This poor, unhappy woman with 10,000 dresses in her wardrobe and a kingdom on which the sun never set, and servants to do for her any bidding that she would make to them. Elizabeth the First had to leave them all, frantically crying for just another inch of time. She had enjoyed over 70 years of life, but like so many others, she devoted them primarily to wealth and pleasure and the fruits of her own ambition. And now she came to die without the Savior. It's important that we who know Christ as Savior live for him.
Amen.
Lest we die like that. For any that do not know Christ as Savior, you need to.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Your ambition need not be to have a kingdom on which the sun never sets. Your ambition need not to have a wardrobe as extensive as hers. Your ambition needs not to have the wealth of millions. I've often said to many of us, 100,000 would be great. We don't have to wish for a million. I mean, we can get caught up in wealth for maybe 10,000. Huh? You see? I mean, what are our needs? What are our desires? That's what determines it. Father in heaven, thank you for the assurance you've given us, for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Help us, dear Father, to indeed live for Him.